Hey, everybody. My name's Adam. I have a new life in Christ, and I'm recovering from pride, control, and fear of man. Let's pray. Dear God, thank you so much. You are truly incredible for calling me out of my darkness into your purpose. You've saved my life, like many others here, and countless more. I pray that everyone tonight sees what you've done through me and knows that the same has been done for them. Amen. I grew up in a large suburb of Cincinnati, Ohio. God wasn't talked about at home, but my parents loved me and raised me the best way they knew. At a young age, I learned that good people always do the right things and that they were rewarded for doing so. On the flip side, bad people always did the wrong things and got punished for it. My parents encouraged this duality at home between my father's calm demeanor and focus on moving through adversity, my mother's emotional reaction dwelling in mistakes that my brother and I made growing up. I looked for the shortest path to always appease my mother, and it was success. Straight A's and doing everything when I was told at home to keep everyone happy. As I got older, I realized my peers were able to have the success I was looking for without the sacrifice of doing the right thing. I wanted to be a varsity athlete and have the hot girlfriend because being the nice guy who was smart didn't make high school fun. My mother always saw me as the little 5-year-old version of me, and I was frustrated that I couldn't prove I was a man. I saw college as a chance to be successful at what I thought really mattered, how not to get made fun of and how to be a man. Marshall University was perfect for me for this. Zero surprise visits from home and start completely over. Initially, I wanted to be all things to all people. The guy who could party with the fellas, have many potential women to date, and still maintain my golden boy status in my parents' eyes. I was chasing girls and drinking almost as soon as I got on campus. I was earning the respect of my fraternity brothers for partying, and my grades kept me in the good graces of my parents. I had hangovers and growing pains with becoming more social, but I saw minimal consequences in my choices until I started pursuing relationships with women at college. I wanted to have the approval of my fraternity brothers while being happy and making my girlfriend happy. Things were fine until one night my sophomore year when I asked an ex-girlfriend of mine to leave a party at my house. We had just ended that relationship, and I didn't want her around. I escalated things verbally when she wouldn't leave, and she ended up throwing a drink in my face. I could wash the drink off me, but not what it did. I saw that as punishment for trying to do the right thing, and I learned to only go after what I wanted. I decided to spend my last 2 years of college not getting hurt and embarrassed again by hiding all my emotions. I was going to protect myself by being a self-centered, jaded misogynist who only trusted the person he saw in the mirror. At its peak, it was daily trying to drink heavily, have inappropriate relationships with women, watch pornography, and smoke pot. During those years, I was in an unstable, emotionally abusive relationship where I used someone to help hide myself from the world. I figured I was being soft when I was emotional, so I just got more reckless. By the time college ended, I was worn out and ready to put it behind me. A job offer in Dallas was the perfect escape. I'd moved not knowing anybody, but I was ready. I was going to go down to Dallas, become an athletic director or a GM of a pro sports team, marry a beautiful woman, and never talk about my problems ever again. I underestimated how easy finding my place in the world would be after college. I reined in my drinking to Friday and Saturday, but I couldn't be the success that I wanted to be. I didn't see myself worth dating anyone because I didn't see how somebody could love the choices that I'd made and because I wasn't successful. I saw a relationship with an attractive woman as a benefit of full-time employment, like a 401k or health insurance. I saw myself as a giant failure. As I bounced around from job to job throughout my 4 years down here, I saw money as an idol that could keep my life stable. I continued drinking, sleeping around, and looking at porn because they were the only things I knew I was good at. I returned to the glory days and didn't know how to move on. After a few months in Dallas, my coworker invited me to his church. I was in, but I knew very little Bible, and my perspective on God was flawed. Some bully with a stick who always rewarded and punished the wrong people. After being around them for a few months, one of the people in that plant recommended I go to a singles ministry on Tuesday nights, closer to my apartment, Watermark's young adult ministry, known as The Porch. I wasn't ready for any part of The Porch, especially the speaker being open and honest about his own past. I was skeptical because heaven seemed so far away, and I couldn't wait until heaven for God's help. As I started attending church regularly, I still continued to stay in my sin. That changed one October night in 2013 when I wrecked my car going home from the bar after a night of drinking. The policeman says I passed the field sobriety test, but I could not tell you how. I had compounded my guilt of past sins and current failure with a totaled car. The next day, a member of my community group helped me get prepared for my week ahead. When we finished, he sat me down and shared the gospel with me. He showed me in multiple parts of Scripture that I was dead in my sin and that Christ had already paid the price for my sins. I heard him, but I still had guilt and shame from all the ways I'd failed. A few months later, I ended up having sex with a prostitute to distract myself from the disaster around me, but that only made things worse. After a scare in the aftermath of that choice, I knew God had me here for a purpose, but I had not been looking for it. I spent time reading my Bible, learning about who God really is and what I actually needed to do. I came to Regeneration in December 2014, the week between Christmas and New Year's. If you've ever been here during that time, there's only groundwork going on. So the idea of being in a circle of about 40 people and sharing my problems sounded really uncomfortable. However, I knew I needed to be there and do whatever it took to put everything behind me. I was so used to invalidating my own emotions and being on my own that I didn't really know how to handle these situations head on. Looking back, wrecking my car was God showing me that my life was absolutely out of control, and having sex with a prostitute was proof that my way was never going to fix it. The best part of my recovery was being able to learn from the other members of my step group. I grew from sharing challenges in my own life, as well as learning from the challenges in the lives of the other members of my group. When we started, I was convinced there were people that I couldn't or I wouldn't connect with or learn from. Some guys were old, some guys were married, and some guys had sin struggles that never affected me. I couldn't have been more wrong, and God taught me that what we all struggle with is to completely trust and submit to Him. Some of the people I wanted to ignore early in my step group had the most impact in my recovery. They affected my relationship with God and the perspective of my sin struggles as well. I hope I've been able to affect them the same way. In recovery, I quickly became willing to share, knowing that I wasn't alone and wanted to get better made things much easier for me. I was comfortable with socially acceptable parts of my past, but I was terrified of the response for some of my darker choices. My challenge was going back to so many events that I wanted to leave behind. In inventory, step four, I had to unpack all the things I had buried for so long. Things like fear of being incompetent or rejected, jealousy of the success of my peers and younger brother, the guilt I placed on myself for past sins, and anger at God for the pain I dealt with in my life. What I learned from all these things is that my responses to these circumstances were out of my desire to control the world around me and the approval of the people around me. I realized that when I wasn't happy with the result or control that I had, I'd self-medicate through alcohol, sex, and pornography to calm myself down and enjoy the things I could control. For the first time in my life, I realized how selfish I truly am. I was so focused on my own pain that I didn't recognize how I was hurting others and myself. God showed me that everything I was afraid to share had already been paid for with Jesus' blood on the cross. Why wouldn't I bring those things into the light? why wouldn't I share with people what Jesus had done in my life? The thing that brought me the most freedom for me was facing and changing my standards for what success looks like. I was unemployed for 6 months during my recovery, and I wanted to see something other than another failure on my resume. God showed me that my new life had to be about Him, bringing glory to His name and sharing my story with other people. In Acts 20:24, Paul states, "However, I consider my life worth nothing to me if I only may finish the race and complete the task the Lord Jesus has given me, the task of testifying to the gospel of God's grace." As I spent more intentional time with God, I found my life heading in that direction. I started serving at the porch and got practice on how to turn the ugliness of my circumstances into a story of complete salvation. In August of 2015, I got baptized as a public proclamation of my commitment to God. There were times during my recovery that I gave in to some of my vices, but I was in community with a group of guys who set me straight and encouraged me to continue forward. In a recent sermon, our pastor mentioned that we are not here to have a good life. We are here to be faithful. I completely believe that. God was showing me what life was like with Him, and it was more fulfilling than anything I ever expected for myself. I spent my mornings in the Word instead of hugging the toilet after a night of drinking. I began to find my identity in God's grace instead of where I went to work, if I went to work at all. I also began to identify others the same way. I stopped swearing and started forming my opinions in what the Bible says. I became less jaded about what did or didn't happen in my life. I saw that God wasn't lazy or incompetent, but was unfinished in a plan that was much bigger than anything I expected for myself. 1 Corinthians 10:31 states, "So whether you eat or drink or whatever you do, do it all for the glory of God." God wasn't some faraway being that I heard about twice a week. He was closer and more prevalent in my life than ever before. Life after recovery has been incredible. I see spending time with God as the only way I should start my day. The world is crazy, but relying on Him is the smartest choice I make on a daily basis. I know that God isn't the cause of the pain in my life, but my own sinful choices and a broken world. All my life, I was waiting for God to get on my side when He was actually waiting for me to come home. I like the person I see in the mirror every day. He's more confident, humble, and pleasant to be around. He's not perfect, but that guy understands he doesn't have to be. I see prayer as an essential part of every day, not an insurance policy. Reading and memorizing scripture keeps my focus on Him and keeps the encouragement I give others rooted in the Bible. I even get constant reminders of the change that's happened in my life through social media. I get to see my past posts dance between hilarious and mortifying and embarrassing, but it reminds me that there's more people like who I was that need to hear about Jesus. That thought is what brought me to leadership at Regeneration. I had a simple reason for wanting to lead a step group and didn't understand the weight of it until I was in that room with my guys and my co-leader. I said that I wanted to lead a group so that I could help guys have the same change in their lives that I had. Realizing that I was going to lead these guys through a journey that I had been on was exciting and scary. For the first time since college, I have found myself in a situation where I enjoyed what I was doing. I may or may not have shed a tear of joy that night. Outside of the church, I began reaching out to people who were and are important in my life to talk about what's changed. Everyone has questions and all kinds of responses. Not everyone has been supportive, but the support some people have shown is incredible. One college friend of mine called me when he saw pictures of my baptism last August, and he was supportive of the changes I had made to that point. It was unexpected when someone who used to want me to chug that beer or go talk to that girl back then is now supporting me as I leave those things behind. Work has been filled with the largest changes in my perspective. Interview questions are now an opportunity for me to talk about my faith. My highest priorities are to accomplish tasks like they're for God and share my story with my coworkers. I need that constant reminder that I am working for God every minute of every day. It allows me to be ready to succeed in whatever God calls me to do. I've also learned that I need to be faithful where I am instead of always wanting something better or something different. The things I thought I'd have in my life at this point are so small compared to what I actually have with God today. I actually have a plan right now to go into seminary, hopefully to become a chaplain or a certified biblical counselor. Purity has been also been a large change in my post-recovery life. And abstaining from sex and pornography has allowed me to show people how I care about them before I ever say it. I realize relationships are two people running after God instead of running towards each other. Focusing on what God sees in women instead of what someone says or does has been overwhelming and has shown me how I can improve other parts of my life, including patience, discipline, and confidence. I've also found myself increasingly aware of things that have triggered my sinful patterns. I've begun looking at everything from music to people in my life, identifying where I glorify God already and where I can glorify Him more. In closing, I need to share something important. Everything I've talked about tonight hasn't disappeared. There are still times I feel guilty about my past, I'm still tempted, and I still worry about things like money and work every single day. The difference between now and a year ago is I understand that the things I'm ashamed of are what Jesus Christ died for on the cross so I could share His grace in my life with you. Those thoughts don't linger in my head like they used to because I have higher eternal priorities. Thanks for letting me share.